أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Verse number 69 كالذين من قبلكم كانوا أشد منكم قوة وأكثر أموالا وأولادا فاستمتعوا بخلاقهم فاستمتعتم بخلاقكم كما استمتع الذين من قبلكم بخلاقهم وخذتم كالذي خاضوا أولئك حبثت أعمالهم في الدنيا والآخرة وأولئك هم الخاسرون Hypocrites, your case is similar to those who were before you, who were more powerful than you and more abounding in wealth and children. They enjoyed their share of worldly existence. You too enjoy your share, just like those who were before you enjoyed their share. And you have gossiped impiously as they gossiped. They are the ones whose works have failed in this world and the hereafter. And it is they who are the losers. In the context of discussing the issue of munafiqun, the hypocrites, and threatening them with the torments and tortures of the hellfire and that Allah would curse them, now an example from the past is given here, and it is the method of the Qur'an, always bringing examples from the past, from the previous nation. What happened to them, you have to look that it is possible that this would happen to you as well. One very general thing about these examples of past nations given in the Qur'an, we have to consider that when Allah gives these examples, it is because of the fact, in fact alluding to the fact that God has no concern about any nation over other nations. It's all the same thing for everyone. There is no, according to the Quran, there is no chosen nation, so to speak, whether Muslim or Jew or Christian. Of course, Allah chooses people, chooses prophets, gives them guidance, and wants a good feedback from them. This is the meaning of choosing and chosen nation and chosen people. Every nation are chosen in turn to be given the guidance. And then, of course, Allah will see how they react to that guidance. And if the reaction is not as it should be, then there would come destruction, there would come the withdrawal of the guidance from those people. So it's always the same with every nation and every people. That is why the examples are given in the Quran. You look at the method, you look at the procedure by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treated other nations, you would be treated exactly in the same way. There is no difference. In Surah Qamar, a very interesting and beautiful verse, after Allah mentions many nations, how they reacted to the prophets, to their prophets, starting with the Noah, and then with the with Ad and Thamud and Lot, and then Fir'aun. At the end, it addresses the people of the time of the prophets, saying that أَكُفَّارُكُمْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أُولَٰئِكُمْ أَمْ لَكُمْ بَرَاءَةٌ فِي الزُّبُرِ. Are your kuffar better than those people? Or you have a covenant, something written from us, that you are not going to be treated in the same way, because you are Quraysh, because you are Arab, and because you are children of Abraham, of Ismail, and all these things that they were actually imagining about themselves. Allah says, are you better than them? Do you have a written thing from us that we are not going to treat you like them? And here is the same as well. You look at the history and the story of the nations which went before you, you will be treated exactly the same thing, in the same way. If you behave in certain ways, you are going to be treated in certain ways by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter to whom you belong, to what nation you belong to, who is your father, whether a prophet or a good person or a bad person. This is how Allah is going to deal. So here an example, a general, first of all, a very general concept is put forward, then different examples of past nations are given. So after it says that وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْكُفَّارَ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ, Allah has promised the hypocrites, men and women and the faithless, the fire of hell, and to remain in it forever, that suffices them, Allah has cursed them, and there is a lasting punishment for them. It says this is exactly the way we have treated the nations which went before you, similar to those who were before you. And this is of course the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the constant, steady pattern, the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is mentioned in the Quran, sunnatullah allati qad khalat min qabl. This is the sunnah, the procedure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has passed before you. وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا, you never find for this procedure any change. This is going to be the same until the end of this world. The same actions, same behavior would give same treatment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, similar to those who were before you, you shouldn't think that we are a big civilization, we have a very advanced society, we are very powerful, we have lots of wealth and all these things. There were people before you. Now this is of course addressing to the people of Medina and Mecca, a very small society of course, with very limited type of wealth. And it is brought to their mind that nations which went before you, they were much more powerful than you. They had much more wealth than you, had accumulated much more wealth. They were much more advanced in technology, in science, in knowledge, as, for example, people of Egypt, people of art, for example, who had very amazing technology, which even nowadays, when the scientists and historians look into those technologies, they are really amazed how they had achieved those type of science and technology, of course they were destroyed because of their actions. It's not the big civilization that you build which matters, it is how you behave which matters for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is human being. You leave him, they can build big civilization with their talent that Allah has given them, with the knowledge that they can acquire. This is human being, of course. Allah knows what type of creature He has created. However, big civilization is not a sign of goodness or badness. This is what Allah is mentioning here. كَانُوا أَشَدَّ مِنْكُمْ قُوَّةً, they were more powerful than you. And of course, more powerful here in terms of the economic advancements that they had, the technology that they had, the weapons that they could use in the past. They were more powerful than you. وَأَكْثَرَ أَمْوَالًا وَأَوْلَادًا, and more abounding in wealth and children. Of course, this is population. The population, their population was more than your population. The wealth was more than your wealth. And قُوَّة, of course, here, as I said, refers to technology, science, knowledge that they had put together to build a very big civilization. It is an illusion of our time that we have to work to create bigger civilizations, more advanced economies in our society. This is the ultimate value for us in the modern world. However, there are very explicit verses in the Quran that which would tell us that no, this is not the ultimate value. The ultimate value is what goes inside your heart, not what goes outside. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. This is Surah 5. This is very clear. Did you not see what your Lord did to Ad? إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ. That very, very big city with very big pillars, huge type of architecture that they had created in their city. أَلَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Something that had no precedent in the whole world. They had built a type of city which no one had ever seen. وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. And Thamud, which brought big, big stones and like mountains, they dragged them into the desert, into the plain land, and built big cities with it. وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ. All these, of course, Fir'aun, we know about his civilization. Those people, their civilization is little known about us, Ad and Thamud, because they are completely perished. Everything is destroyed. About Fir'aun, many things are still there, has remained. The pyramids, the whole huge buildings, huge palaces, the remnants of them are there. And Allah says, you look at those people. إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ. However, they were those الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ. They transgressed in the world. فِي الْبِلَادِ means in the world, in the cities, in the civilizations of the world. الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ. They poured the world, filled the world with fasad and corruption. Although they had big civilizations, big knowledge, big technology, they filled the world with corruption. الَّذِينَ تَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ صَبْتَ عَذَابٍ. Then the lash of punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hit them. So, exactly the same thing. Look at what happened to the people before you. They were more powerful than you, and more abounding in wealth and children. فَاشْتَمْتَعُوا بِخَلَاطِهِمْ. They enjoyed their share. They enjoyed what we had given them, the favors we had given them. خَلَاط is what is called usually in Arabic نَصِيب, the share, what the lot, what Allah has given to a person or to a people, to a society. They used it to the end. They actually completely made use of what we had given them, they share. فَاشْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِخَلَاقِكُمْ. And you are now enjoying your lot, enjoying your share, your favors, in the same way that they were using it. كَمَا اشْتَمْتَعَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ بِخَلَاقِهِمْ. Just like those who were before you enjoyed their share. You use your share, you use your favors, you use your blessings that Allah has given you in the same way that they were using their blessings. Putting it, investing it completely for the worldly affairs, for the material gains. And if you invest what you have in material gains, of course you would have accretion of wealth, you would have accretion of benefits. But this is not going to benefit you, your soul, to benefit you in the hereafter. There's a very interesting verse in Surah Ahqaf, Surah number 46, which talks about the same concept, almost the same concept. It is verse number 20. It says, وَيَوْمَ يُؤْرَضُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَلَى النَّارِ. The day when the faithless are exposed to the fire. أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. You have exhausted your good things in the life of the world. وَاشْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا. And enjoyed from them. فَالْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونِ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَكْبِرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. So today you will be requited with a humiliating punishment for your acting arrogantly in the earth, unduly, and because you used to transgress وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَفْسُقُونَ. Now, the idea that the good things that Allah has given, tayyibat, are all blessings that Allah has given us. The talents, the knowledge, the intellect, the power that Allah has given us, the wealth that He has endowed for us on this earth. Everything are tayyibat that Allah has given us. Now these tayyibat are to be used for this world and for the next world. Ad-dunya madra'atul akhirah. This is the harvest which should be used for the next world, this world. Now, people usually what they do, they invest all their blessings for this world. They want to enjoy the most utmost pleasure from this world. And this is how they exhaust all their tayyibat. أَذْهَبْتُمْ تَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمْ الدُّنْيَا. You exhausted all your blessings for this world. You invested it all in this world. And even some theologians and some Muslim scholars like Ghazali, he is of the idea that even the halal tayyibat, the halal pleasures a person would enjoy from in this world would diminish the reward in the other world. That's why he was very ascetic himself. He used to say that we have to refrain from using whatever, from having whatever pleasure is in this world, so that we do not exhaust our blessings in this world and somehow be positive and reserve it for the next world. However, of course, most thinkers would oppose his opinion that even the pleasures which are halal should not be enjoyed from because of this world. He mentions this verse, أَتْحَبْتُمْ تَيِّبَاتَكُمْ فِي حَيَاتَكُمْ الدُّنْيَا. Now, whether this is the case or not, of course, this is not our issue now. The point is that the way we use the blessings, if it is in the same way that the people in the past have used it, have exhausted it completely for the worldly pleasure, then we are going to be treated in the same way. فَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِخَلَاقِكُمْ. You enjoy, you too enjoy your share. كَمَا اسْتَمْتَعَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ بِخَلَاقِهِمْ. Just like those who were before you, in the same way that they enjoyed their share, you are enjoying your share. وَخُضُتُمْ كَالَّذِي خَاضُوا. You say the same thing. Of course, khawd is speaking nonsense, speaking rubbish. Here, of course, it's translated as, and you have gossiped impiously as they gossip. Now, it's not only gossip. Any type of vain, unreasonable, unjustified idea, talk, conversation which people have about their lives, about the society, human being, and actually it talks about ideas. You have the same ideas and you talk about the same ideas that people before you talked about. وَخُضُكُمْ كَالَّذِي خَاضُوا. So what do you expect? You see how we treated them? What type of treatment you expect from me? Are you very special? Are you chosen one? Have we given you a writing? أَكُفَّارُكُمْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أُولَٰئِكُمْ أَمْ لَكُمْ بَرَاءَةٌ فِي الزُّبُرِ. Do you have a writing on a piece of paper from me that I'm going to treat you specially? You are going to be treated in the same way. وَخُذْتُمْ كَالَّذِي خَاضُوا أُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. They are, of course, those who were before you, are those whose works have failed in this world and the hereafter. Of course, this is the concept of haqq, annihilation of actions that we spoke about. Now, in the next world, it's very clear. Whatever they do in this world, it wouldn't have any benefit in the next world. So all their actions are annihilated, are failed, have failed for the next world. And in this world, although they acquire benefits, although they gain from what they do, however, that is not benefit if they think of it. It is harm that they are accruing for themselves rather than benefit. So even in this world, because what they do, what they accrue, what they accumulate would harden their heart, and this is the meaning of their actions being failing and being annihilated. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ, and it is they who are the losers. Now, after giving this general idea that the people before you had this type of behavior, were treated this way, it gives a palpable example. Examples or samples from the previous nation. Which nations I am talking about? أَلَمْ يَأْتِهِمْ نَبَأُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ قَوْمِ نُوحًا وَعَادٍ وَثَمُودَ وَقَوْمِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَأَصْحَابِ مَدْيَنَ وَالْمُؤْتَفِكَاتِ أَتَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنْفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Had there not come to them the account of those who were before them, the people of Noah, Ad, and Thamud, and the people of Abraham, the inhabitants of Midian, and the towns that were overturned, their apostles brought them manifest proofs, so it was not Allah who wronged them, but it was they who used to wrong themselves. Several nations, in fact, six nations are mentioned here as an example for the hypocrites of the time of the Prophet, the kuffar and hypocrites of the time of the Prophet. The account of those who were before them, the people of Noah, Ad and Thamud and Ibrahim, and Ashab Madian, of course, the people of Shu'aib, and Mu'tafiqat, the towns of the people of Lot, because there were three very close interlinked cities in which Lot used to preach, and there were those evil people who were committing indecent actions, and that's why it is mentioned in plural, the towns that were overturned, that were the towns in which Lot used to preach. They, of course, had their chastisement, as is mentioned here. Now, these nations which are mentioned, these nations and some other nations mentioned in the Quran, this is almost the most outstanding example mentioned in the Quran very repeatedly. Quran doesn't talk about many different past nations, just 7, 8, or 9 nations that Quran singles out and brings the example of them to the people. And the reason is that they were so well known to the people, not only in Arabia, but in other parts of the world. These people of Noah, Ad, and Thamud, it is interesting to know that they were very well known in the Egypt at the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And of course, we get the knowledge from the Quran as well, in Surah Mu'min, Surah number 40, when that Mu'min Ali Fir'aun, the faithful person from Ali Fir'aun, speaks to his people and preaches them. He tells them, وَيَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِثْلَ يَوْمِ الْأَحْزَابِ, I am fearful for you that a calamity like the calamity of the parties, the societies which went before you would come upon you. مِثْلَ دَعْبِ قَوْمِ نُوحٍ وَعَادٍ وَثَمُودٍ وَمَا اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ ظُلْمًا لِلْعِبَادِ, as the example of the people of Noah, Ad and Thamud. Now, of course, these people were living very far away from Egypt. However, their chastisement or their destiny was so well known around the world that even people in Egypt were very clear about the destiny of such people, especially the people of Noah, that you would have the story of them in all religions of the world, almost in all stories, in all myths of the world, there is a mention of the big flood which destroyed many people in the world. And this is, of course, the story of the people of Noah, which was very well known at that time. It's mentioned in the Torah. It's mentioned in other books. And, of course, Ad and Thamud, which were very close to Arabs. In fact, many Arabs were descendants of Ad, and Thamud, who were living in southern Arabia, their examples were very outstanding. So that's why the example of these people are given. Has it not come to them the account of those who were before them, the people of Noah, Ad, and Thamud, wa qawm Ibrahim, and the people of Abraham, of course, because Abraham was very well known again to these people of Arabia. These examples might raise a question in some minds that why Quran only mentions the very well-known examples for Arabs, not for other nations. For example, we had many instances like the, say, in China or in India or in Iran, because this is the pattern that Allah would follow. This is the sunnatullah. It happens in every nation. However, it would have been nonsensical to mention a nation in the Quran for Arabs, which they did not know. Of course, they should have be clear about the examples. The examples are given for better understanding of concepts. And it's not just counting all those nations who were destroyed, which were destroyed before the appearance of our Prophet. It's just to give examples for the concepts, to make them more palpable, more understandable. And therefore, the examples should be very well known for Arabs. Quiet impression in their minds that yes, as soon as there is a mention of Nuh and Ad and Thamud, then of course they get a shiver on their back because the example is very well known. And in fact, this is the case in Surah Fussilat. There is a very nice example, Surah number 41. There's a very nice example of this. At the beginning of the surah, after the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, how He created the earth, the heavens, and the decoration of the lowest heaven with lamps, وَزَيَّنَّ السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ وَحِفْظًا ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. Of course, these verses that go before this are very beautiful in bringing out the signs of creation and the signs of power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then it says, فَإِنْ أَعْرَضُوا, but if they turn away, فَقُلْ أَنذَرْتُكُمْ مِثْلَ صَائِقَةِ عَادٍ وَثَمُودِ, say, I warn you of a thunderbolt like the thunderbolt of Ad and Thamud. Now, nice story is that these verses actually were recited for Walid ibn Uqbah. And he was the father of Khalid ibn Walid and one of the very famous poets of Arabia, the one to whom every man of literature would have turned. The people of Mecca went to him and told him that we are in separate groupings. We have different opinions about what the Prophet, what Muhammad says, peace be upon him. Some of us would say that he's a sha'ir, some of us would say he's majnoon, some of us would say he's a sahir. We don't have a common opinion by which we could fight him. So, would you find out what is the root of all these literature coming from this illiterate man, a man of which we have no precedent of any piece of literature from him? Now all these literature are pouring out from his mind. So what is the origin of this? You tell us. He said, okay, I will tell you after I have spoken to you. He goes to Kaaba, where the Prophet used to sit every evening. And he told him, my son Muhammad, because he was a very old man, recite for me some of your poetry. And the Prophet said, I am not a poet. I only say what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told me, I convey. He said, okay, whatever you say, you recite some of it for me. He started to recite these verses, which already was revealed to him, that بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تنزيل من الرحمن الرحيم كتاب فصلت آياته. And all these verses he recited until he came to this verse. فإن أعرضوا, if they turn away. فقل أنذرتكم مثل صاعقة عاد. فقل أنذرتكم صاعقة مثل صاعقة عاد وثمود. And as soon as he came to this verse, Waleed started to shiver. started to get a type of fear in himself that he had not experienced before. Because of course the example of Ad and Thamud was so outstanding and the verses were so impressive that he started to shiver. He went home. For 3 days he did not speak to anyone. He was under the blanket. The rumors went around that Waleed has submitted, has become a Muslim because he has gone and spoken with the Prophet and he does not speak to anyone else. Then they came to him and said, you have failed us, you have let us down because we sent you to Muhammad to tell us what type of attribute we have to give him, a sha'ir, a sahir, a kahin, what? And you have now become a Muslim. He said, no, who has said I've become a Muslim? I am not a Muslim. I have not become a Muslim, not going to become a Muslim, but I was thinking in these 3 days that what are these that he is reciting? What are these that he states? And at the end I will tell you, he's not a sha'ir. No sha'ir can ever, he's not a poet. No poet can ever mention, well, compose these things. He's just a magician. He actually put a spell on me by mentioning these things and give a shiver to me for that for the last 3 days. And then the story is mentioned in Surah Qalam or one other Surah Muddathir or Qalam. إنه فكر وقدر فقتل كيف قدر ثم قتل كيف قدر. It's about Waleed. He thought and measured and thought and may God kill him. How did he measure? فقتل كيف قدر ثم قتل كيف قدر. Then God killed him again. How did he measure? ثم نظر. Then he considered. ثم عبس وبصر. Then he frowned and he became angry about his own situation that he couldn't actually judge what is this. ثم عبس وبصر ثم أدبر واستكبر. Then turned away and his arrogance started to influence him. فقال إن هذا إلا سحر يوثر. He said, this is but magic which is coming, taken, chosen by Muhammad to be his own, spell other people. فقال إن هذا إلا سحر يوثر إن هذا إلا قول البشر. This is not from God. This is magic from people. So, what I wanted to mention here is that the type of impressive strength that the example of these people had in Arabia, and even as I said in Egypt, we hear that the Mu'min Ali Faraun speaks about these nations. So it should have a type of influence, a type of impact on Munafiqun when they are mentioned. So the account of those who were before them, the people of Noah, Ad and Thamud, and Qawm Ibrahim, of course Namrud, and the polities in which Ibrahim, among whom Ibrahim had grown up and preached in the beginning, وأصحاب مدين, inhabitants of Madian, who had Shu'ayb preaching for them for several years, and they were destroyed as well. والمؤتفقات, and the towns that were overturned because there was a type of strong earthquake which hit the towns of Lat, مؤتفقات, which فجعلنا عليها سافلها, as it is mentioned in the Quran. We brought the bottom of it to the top, and the top we sent to the bottom. It was just overturned, and that's why it's called Mu'tafaqat, the overturned cities. أتتهم رسلهم بالبينات. Their apostles came to them with manifest truths, as of course your apostle has come to them with manifest truths. فَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ. So it was not Allah who wronged them. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. But it was they who used to wrong themselves. Now it comes to mind that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes a people, destroys a civilization or a city or whatever, is this not an oppression, a wrongdoing of a powerful being to weak creatures of him? Of course, why does he do this? He left a civilization to thrive, to develop, to grow, a city, a people, and then whatever they do, is it not a type of wrongdoing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to destroy them? Now Allah says, of course, we did not wrong them. They themselves have failed the aim for which they were created, and there was no use for them to continue, because if they continued, they would have produced more people, more evil people, which should have gone to Jahannam. You have to look into the bigger picture. Of course, in the small picture, it is not quite pleasant for a nation, for the people of a city to be destroyed completely by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It seems to be unjust somehow, or unpleasant. However, if you have the bigger picture, if these people remain, they are going to produce more and more people, children coming to grow up in that society, to go to hell, and the best thing for them is to cease to exist. As we have the example of Noah, alayhi salam, when his people are destroyed, he says, actually he fears that some of them might remain, and they might again come back and produce, reproduce people like themselves, and have a generation again going to hell. So in Surah Noah we have that after God starts the punishment and sending the storm, وَقَالَ نُوحٌ رَبِّ لَا تَذَرَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا. Then Noah supplicated to Allah that, O God, do not leave from this kuffar even one of them on the face of the earth. Destroy all of them. And of course, this is not a sense of revenge from Noah or something that he wanted to see the punishment of them. No, he mentions why. إِنَّكَ إِن تَذَرْهُمْ يُذَلُّوا عِبَادَتِ. If you leave them, if you leave even one of them, they start again to misguide your servants. يُذَلُّوا عِبَادَتِ. وَلَا يَلِدُوا إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا. They only reproduce, they only give birth to people who would become later on as fajr and kafar, very ungrateful, transgressors, sinners they are going to reproduce. So do not leave one of them even to remain. So this is not a zulm by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have to be destroyed. But why they have to be destroyed? Because they wrong themselves. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلَمُونَ. And this, of course, is mentioned in the example of Mu'min Ali Fir'aun, when he says that, look at the example of the past people. إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِثْلَ يَوْمِ الْأَحْزَابِ. I fear the same thing that happened to people, groupings which were before you. مِثْلَ دَعْبِ قَوْمِ عَادٍ. مِثْلَ دَعْبِ قَوْمِ نُوحٍ وَعَادٍ وَثَمُودٍ. وَمَا اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ ظُلْمًا لِلْعِبَادِ. Allah never wants to wrong people. It is only the people who wrong themselves. Okay, we stop here until next week, inshallah. وَسَلَّمْ لَهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى الْآخِرِ. اللَّهُ عَلَى
You gave an example of civilization, and you said that Allah's pattern doesn't change, and that if you feel that if you've been chosen, then give me some evidence who's chosen you. Yet there seems to be one exception to this rule. We have the Bani Israel, who Allah says in Quran, has been favored above the nations. And then he goes on to say that they've been, I believe, it's written somewhere where he says they've been punished twice, and they will be punished a third time. Why are these people kept going, and for every reason you mentioned that previous civilization has been destroyed, they seem to be good. And every generation there is more people who cause problems. So why is this exception there?
Well, their case is quite different from those nations who were destroyed. Those nations rejected the Prophet completely. They did not accept what the Prophet said. These people actually assumed upon themselves what the Prophet said. They became faithful to the Prophet. However, they monopolized that in a way. And they somehow distorted what they had received from the Prophet. So they did not reject the Prophet. This sunnah goes for those who reject the Prophet outrightly. And of course there are other sunnahs and patterns. People who like Banu Israel, if people like them are found among other nations, among Christians and Muslims, they will be treated in the same way as well. To be cursed in the sense that the heart would go dry. There is completely other rule for those who accept their message but distort it, and those who outrightly reject it.
If we find that when human beings transgress, Allah punishes them, how much if that we are transgressed as well? And yet he is doing this extra powers to describe.
Well, he is punished actually. He is being punished. That is the worst punishment for him than if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has finished him outrightly. And because his transgression is so great, his punishment is worse, and he is given all this respite, then to be accounted for, he is going to be held responsible for whatever he has done at the end. So, in fact, to destroy those nations is a type of favor as well. Allah would not let them to continue. However, for Shaitan, this did not happen. Even this favor was withdrawn from him to stop him from wrongdoing.
One more question, if you don't mind. When Allah talks about vain discourses, can you be a little bit more elaborate on that? Is it impious talk, or is it just chit-chat?
No, it's certainly impious talk. Talks an opinion which are very detrimental to the faith and to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the type of things. Not, of course, that is not good, but not something that would bring this such a punishment to people.
Should the examples that we looked at today, that the, those communities were destroyed by Allah, what were the distinguishing features that one can actually see by due to which actually Allah destroyed them? Say, if you compare these with the recent tsunami that occurred, I mean, we don't say that there was the wrath of Allah, it was an effect of certain cause, and those causes were the effect of certain other causes. So, what were the distinguishing features on those communities? We take the one can say that there was a direct intervention by Allah to bring the wrath on them.
Well, actually, there is a discussion in exegesis and in theology as well, that whether such punishment would ever come to people, to contemporary people of our contemporary time or after the Prophet. It is strong opinion among many scholars that these are only punishments for those who reject prophets. And after the prophethood is finished, actually, after our prophet, then such punishments are not going to come anymore. Because, of course, there are preachers all the time preaching good manners, good ideas, good religion to people, and people might reject them. However, they are not the final authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are rejected, if they are rejected. They have their wrongs and rights. They have, of course, although they might be very high personalities, very good, with very good characters and faith, however, their faith is always blemished with some sort of shortcoming. It is only the prophets who have that final authority, and it's only if they are rejected, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. It is in fact something in the soul of the prophets which would cause all these things. So they would say, they call it azabul istisal, the punishment which would uproot a nation, which would terminate a nation, or terminating punishments. These terminating punishments wouldn't come unless a prophet is rejected. So there might be other types of punishment which are not terminating, and we don't know what incidents would be punishments, what incidents would be due to other things. However, such punishments are not going to come anymore after the prophets are gone.
Just taking further from what you said just now, the Christians and the Jews, they knew very well that there's going to be a prophet. It's all been forecast. But they have rejected our prophet. So why not the punishment of Allah comes to them or came to them?
It is actually the message that prophet brings. And that is belief in God, as against belief in idols or disbelief or whatever. And if that belief in God is rejected, in one God is rejected, then that punishment would come. Of course, Christians and Jews, they already believe in God, in one God. Although they might have had different explanations of that one God, like for example, Jesus being the incarnation of God or the Son of God. But they believed in, ultimately, in one God. So, since they had established religions, and since, of course, it is a well-known fact that changing one religion to another religion of God is usually very difficult. Traditionally, it does not happen. So, they were given some sort of respite to be recognized as established faith, and to be recognized as people of the book, Ahlul Kitab, and to be regarded as respected among Muslims as people who had faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the punishment would come for those who really reject the faith in one God, rather than those who already had the faith and rejected the Prophet.
Any questions?
Can you get the mic? Does that mean atheists also, or just polytheists?
No, both of them. Because both of them existed in the past. We shouldn't think that atheism is a modern phenomenon. And they existed in the past, and their opinions are reflected in the Quran. وَقَالُوا مَا هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا. It's just this world. We are produced by the material world, and we die in it. وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهْرِ. It is just the world which creates us and kills us. So there were atheists at that time as well, and both of them are included.
Any questions? Today also we looked at how the certain communities progress and how they make use of the knowledge and how they combine the various types of knowledge to make progress. Now, would Allah actually, is this the use of these knowledges and the way they make use and combine it to make progress, is it one of the laws of Allah's nature that anybody who strives for this will gradually all the time be able to make use of the knowledge and combine? Or is it that Allah sometimes within a community inspires somebody else to how to, what kind of knowledge there is and how to combine it and make use of it? Because we see certain communities progress very fast, certain are not progressing very slow.
I think it's all due to analyzable factors. We can analyze eventually why some communities, we can analyze materially why some communities progress, why some do not progress. Well, eventually, yes, it's all blessings of Allah, inspirations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is human world. Human being is blessed by many things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these blessings could be used in the right way and could be used in the wrong way. And if these blessings are used in the wrong way, if they are invested for material growth, they would give their results. If they are invested only for spiritual growth, as we see some people who seclude themselves and train their souls, it gives their its result. If they are used for both, it gives its result. So it is a human thing. It's human being which is like this. And we shouldn't think that everything comes directly and miraculously from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is from Allah, but through the people. And there are many verses in the Quran saying that whoever invests for this world, these blessings that we have given them, of course they would take the benefit of it. And whoever invests for the next world, they would take the benefit of it. So I think it's something which is more due to people than we could attribute it to intervention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Muhammad Wa'alaikum Salaam.